But this morning is going to be a little unusual sermon in the title, that Greeks are cursed. So you've heard some controversial subjects before. This is going to be no different. Amen. But don't think too highly of yourselves, because Americans are cursed also. You think America's blessed. America was blessed about 50 to 100 years ago. But you can't kill almost a million babies a year and not be cursed of God. You can't allow the abomination of the sodomites, homosexuality, to parade freely in the streets like we have, and to be promulgated in government schools like we have, and not be cursed of God. So don't think that Americans are not cursed, but I'm just telling you from the Bible. America's not mentioned in the Bible by name, but Greece is mentioned over and over and over again. Greeks are mentioned over and over and over again. Verse number 18, let's read this again. You read silently, I'm going to read this out loud, but I'm going to go down to almost the end of the chapter here. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is no way I am going to even give you the tip of the iceberg of the 60 pages I have printed in front of me of Greece's history, heritage, and the wealth of knowledge that we have from Greece itself. But the Greek name in Greek for Greece is Hellas, H-E-L-L-A-S. And that is pretty funny when you think God knew what the language was going to be from eons prior to eons afterwards, that Hellas would be spelled H-E-L-L-A-S. I don't see any nation on planet Earth in the Bible as cursed as much as Greece is. And again, I'll say much more tonight. But Greece is a very unique country in the sense that you've heard me say a lot of stories about my childhood growing up, the influence that I've had from the Greek history and the heritage that I was taught. The birthplace of democracy, they call it, Western philosophy, the Olympic Games. That's why we're so addicted to sports today, ladies and gentlemen. The first games, the Olympic Games, gymnastics is a Greek word meaning naked. They played naked in their games. And the reason why America is becoming more naked and naked is because America is turning more to the philosophies of ancient and pagan Greece the more she goes along. So everything just is mirrored with ancient Greece, these philosophers that we look up to as a whole, as our society and education teaches us. Most of these guys were a bunch of perverts and pagans, and they hated the God of the Bible. And they believed in the 12 gods on Mount Olympus. And by the way, there's still a large, whatever you want to call it, contingent of Greeks in Greece who still believe, and it's growing in numbers, that believe in the 12 gods in Mount Olympus. Now, I laughed at that when I first heard it when I went to Greece. But, I mean, adults, educated people, college-educated people believe in the 12 gods of Mount Olympus. And you try to have a conversation with people like that, and you'll go bonkers, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, just tells you the philosophy of Greece a little bit, even till today. I remember going to, and we've been gone, you know, for the last 15 years or so to Greece. My wife, as I said, was born in Greece, so we've gone every 2 or 3 years, something like that. We haven't gone in a couple of years now. But I remember, like, one of the last few times we were in Greece, we were in Athens near the Parliament building there, and they literally had statues. I'm talking about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 foot tall statues, I think, if I remember correctly, of cows, painted cows, in the platea, in the you know, what do you call the area where people just walk in, you know? And you know what? It's exactly what Aaron did. They worship the golden calf. You can't get more pagan than that, ladies and gentlemen. So when I talk about this, and by the way, and I'm not minimizing or criticizing the good parts of the history. I mean, you ought to read of the fighters of ancient Greece, King Leonidas and the 300 Spartans, that saved Western civilization from the Persians. I mean, you don't understand the Battle of Marathon and other ancient battles in Greece. It was Greece is the gateway from Asia Minor there into Europe. And the Ottoman Empire ruled Greece for about 400 years. And it stopped at, you know, I want to say Bulgaria and northern area there. And it was Greece that fought them off to stop even further going into Europe. And so Greece has a pivotal role in history. You ought to read about the history. And a matter of fact is our forefathers took the Greek city-states and the Roman federal state and combined them to form our republic. And so there's a lot of wisdom that these ancient Greek leaders had that we glean from as far as the good parts of our own heritage, our own history. But when you have a nation and its people are so steeped in pagan philosophy, if you don't temper it with biblical truth, you'll become as paganistic as they were. And America has become that. Socrates taught, if I get this correct, Socrates taught Plato, who taught Aristotle. Socrates was put on trial for man-boy love. You can't get more pathetic and disgusting than having a little boy follow you. I don't know, they said, I think the law was 12 or 14 years of age. And so he was put on trial and convicted for ruining the minds of the youth. I mean, a great philosopher that we hold up in high esteem. And he had some great sayings, and I use them, and I quote them sometimes. But to think that he was convicted of trial for homosexuality and then committed suicide before a sentence was carried out. I mean, these are the people that your philosophers and your educators and the government holds up that we want to be like. Well, I say we ought to be like Jesus, amen. Amen. I say we ought to be Christ-like. Amen. And Paul did say, I'm a debtor to the Greeks, he did. And so there are some things, and Paul quoted some of the Greek philosophers, unsaved. So be careful that you don't throw, you know, the baby out with the baby wash and discount everything that somebody has said or done because maybe they were evil influenced by a pagan philosophy. It's like your parents. Just because your parents were not saved doesn't mean that they didn't teach you right. I'll grant you this one. I believe this with all my heart. I believe most Roman Catholics 100 years ago were stricter than Baptists are today. And they disciplined their children better than Baptists do today. Now, we can rail against the Roman Catholic Church because it's apostatic. It's apostate. It's heretical. They teach a work salvation. It's the biggest cult on planet Earth is the Roman Catholic Church. But those people had more character than Baptists. They went to church more than you do. I'm talking about 1,500 years ago. You come when you feel like it. They went every single service because their salvation depended on it. They were workers. So when I go through this list, this litany of things, why the Greeks are cursed, I want to remind you, I thank God I'm saved today. Because Greeks are very, very proud people. And it's all through the Bible. They're cursed with pride. But there's nothing good about pride in the Bible. Absolutely nothing. And I've never met another group of people that are so more proud than Greeks. Now you say Greek pride, you know, I'm proud to be an American, you know, black pride, whatever. It's a curse to be proud, a curse from God. And the more proud you are about something, the more God curses you. I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I'm American. I'm not proud that America kills 900,000 babies a year. I'm not proud about that. I'm not proud of what American government schools are teaching the children today. I'm not proud about that. There's nothing good about pride in the Bible at all. I'm not proud I'm a Baptist. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm glad I'm saved. So when you go through, when you listen to this and you go through the Bible verses, I'm not just picking on Greeks, but you know what? I want to show you what God says about the Greeks. By the way, you ought to learn what God says about you in the Bible too. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter number 6, please. Acts chapter number 6. You know, the Bible is a very convicting book. That's why people don't read it. If you read the Bible, you'd realize you're a sinner deserving death in hell, and only Jesus Christ can save your soul from hell. I don't care what church you grew up in. I don't care what denomination you were. I don't care what your pastor, reverend, or minister ever told you. You better make sure you read what God says in the Bible, amen? Amen. Acts chapter number 6. The Pope is still the vicar of hell, ladies and gentlemen. Acts chapter number 6. And I'm Greek. I love the Greek people. Look, I believe the Greek people are some of the warmest, most hospitable people you'll ever meet on planet Earth. Oh, well, let me just say this. The older Greeks. The Greeks that came over on the boats. The Greeks that came over before the new socialist, lazy Greeks took over Greece and spoiled them rotten. The people who opened diners and restaurants. Huh? The people who opened pizza parlors, the people who opened hot dog carts on the street corner, vendors in the big cities. The people who went to work as soon as they got off a boat and weren't looking for a handout from a government to feed them and clothe them. Those are the people, and not just the Greeks, I'm talking about all the other immigrants that came that way too. Those are the Greeks that I look up to and admire. Not the new bunch of socialists who are a bunch of lazy pigs, most of them, generally speaking. So why is Greece suffering so much? Because you know what? They hate God, they hate the Bible, and God's cursed the Greeks. And if a Greek doesn't get saved and get right with God, they're going to be cursed. Acts chapter number 6, verse number 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Hey, guess what? 2,000 years, nothing's changed. Everything is the Jews' fault today. You ask any Greek, 90% of the Greeks will tell you, it's all the Jews' fault. The Jews, this is because of the Jews, and the Jews do this. And I know that you hold on to the other parts of the series, okay? I'll get to the Jews too. But the truth of the matter is, when you criticize and curse the Jews, God's curse is going to be on you. And that's why God's cursed the Greeks, because they blame everything that's wrong with them on the Jews.
Right.
They hate the Jews. You better be careful. You know what? I have a whole litany of things that are rattling through my mind right now. I haven't written down. I shouldn't read them the way I've written. But be honest with you, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse number 1. So you know one of the another reason why God's cursed Greeks? Because they love their liquor and their alcohol. I said this Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I was teaching this. There's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus ever drank wine, ever. You won't find the Bible. But you know what every single Greek tells me? Well, Jesus drank wine. I said, show me where it says in the Bible. You won't find it. But the Greek priests that drink the wine and hard liquor, teach them that stuff. Well, he turned the water into wine. Yeah, that's non-alcoholic wine. If you were here Wednesday night, you missed the Bible study on the difference between wine that's alcohol and wine that's not. It's old wine and new wine. There's a difference in the Bible. But one of the reasons why Greeks are cursing God is because they're drinking their alcohol. They think it's okay. And they're not reading all the verses that God says that God's curse is on those that drink that liquor, and your judgment is impaired, and you're depraved when you drink that stuff.
Run.
You know, I don't care if you're Greek or not. You drink that liquor right now, or whenever you go home, God's curse is on you too. It's a poison of acids, the Bible says. Your judgment is impaired. And by the way, look, the same thing is true with drugs too. Drugs in the Bible is sorcery. It's the Greek word pharmakia, where you get pharmacy from. So here's what you do. The alcohol drinking people in America are criticizing the weed pot smoking people in America. Think about how stupid this is. You know how stupid that is? Because Republicans and Democrats are both drinking their liquor. And their judgment is warped. And you can't think straight. You're going to make the wrong decisions in life. You're going to end up drunk somewhere and you're ruin your life. You're going to get syphilis, gonorrhea, venereal disease, child support for 18, 21 years. Are you paying attention to me this morning?
Yeah.
Because you weren't in your right mind, you did something stupid that's going to ruin your life.
Yes, sir.
Because everybody else is drinking. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to get drunk with the boys. Go ahead. You know how many people die of a suicide because they were drunk? Of course, they're never going to say that. You know how many people died drunk in a car accident doing something stupid because they were high or drinking or getting drunk? You know what? You're following the philosophies of pagan Greece, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
and God's cursing you like he cursed Greece. I remember when I went to Greece the first time, I was 11 years old, 1968. Went to my mom's village where she was born. No running water in any house. No electricity in any house. No phone in any house. Probably the best vacation I ever had in my life. We sat around the table singing old-fashioned Greek songs with a kerosene lamp going, man. There was only one light in the entire village. It was at the town store. And it was on a mountainside. There's only one phone. It was in a town store. When anybody called from America or somebody got a call, they come out of the store and they literally yell along the side of the mountain, "Hey, so-and-so just called. Come down in 5-10 minutes. They're going to call right back," or 20 minutes. And they used to wait by the phone, the only phone in the village, for their relative to call them from America. And they'd literally wait 20-30 minutes for the next phone call to come back in so they can talk to somebody. You know what? Greece was very happy then. Greece was prospering then. God was blessing Greece then. They loved America then. Winston Churchill said one of the reasons the Allies won World War II is because he said, from now on, we're not going to call Greeks heroes. We're going to call heroes Greeks. Because they single-handedly stopped the fascist Mussolini from entering Greece, and Hitler had to take so many of his troops off the Russian front and bring them to Greece because Greece wouldn't cave in. And Hitler himself said the fiercest fighters we've ever encountered were the Greeks. Look it up. More percentage of Greeks lost their lives in World War II than any other nation. 10% of Greeks. They're fighters, that's why. So those are good points. But they're full of themselves and they're full of pride. They drink their liquor. They think they're gods. Just going back to the pagan philosophies that they grew up with. And God's cursing them today. And they're still complaining about the Jews. Turn to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17. And as we go through these verses, I want you to remind yourself that you ought to put yourself in these verses and see if you have any of the same characteristics here. Acts chapter 17. You know, if you ever look at pictures of Greece, one of the most striking postcards or pictures of Greece is the Parthenon on the Acropolis there, you know. Well, that's a pagan temple to Athena, a Diana. Huh? That's just a worship of the pagan gods, you know. Acts chapter number 17. Watch this, starting verse number 15. And they conducted Paul, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The whole city. It's like when they were chanting, "Great is Diana," for I don't know how many hours in Ephesus. The whole world knows that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of Diana. By the way, just like America worships Mary, who is a saved sinner like anybody else. But they're worshiping Mary like she's a god, like she's sinless. You know what? The Catholic Church is teaching people to worship Mary like they're worshiping Athena or Diana. No different. They just changed some names, but it's the same veneration. You know, there was a good Greek preacher around 350, 400 AD, John Chrysostomus, which means John the Golden Mouth. He preached against homosexuality. He preached against the elite. And by the way, it was the elite. Can you think about this? It was the elite in pagan Greece that enjoyed their boy love, man-boy love. That Socrates was arrested for, one of the things he was arrested for. And it isn't interesting, it's the elite. I don't care if it's the elite in government, the elite in politics, the elite in Hollywood. Those are the most perverted people when you think about it. The people you're trying to keep up with are the most perverted. Why don't you keep up with Jesus, amen? All right, so his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." They think you're strange because you tell them about Jesus, you know. You know, I grew up lighting my candles. I was an altar boy. I was doing what my priest told me to do. And I was one breath from hell because my priest never told me that Jesus said you must be born again. Right. Now, you would think going to Sunday school and church for 21 years, not every Sunday, but a lot of the Sundays, one out of two, two out of three, one out of three, I don't know. Not one time did I hear that you must be born again. You know why? Because it's a heretical apostate church, ladies and gentlemen. That's why. It's straight out of hell. Thank God somebody had compassion on a lost Greek one breath from hell. I had a chip on my shoulder like you would never believe. I was full of myself, full of pride before I got saved. I thought I was my own God. I heard about Jesus. I heard about the Bible. But it was one breath from hell until a Baptist shared the gospel with me. Invited me to church. I heard Jesus saves for the first time in my life, man. A lost Greek on his way to hell. I thought I was in the little house in the prairie, man. I'll tell you, Hackensack, New Jersey, man. I said, "Wow, isn't this nice?" But it's not for me because I'm Greek, man. That woman took me to church. I'm forgetting now. She put a $10 or $20 bill in the basket. I thought to myself, man, you are stupid. They have snookered you, because I was ready. I took out my quarter to put a quarter in the offering basket, because that's what Greeks do, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and the Greeks love money, man. They really do. They love their family. Don't misunderstand me. They're family oriented. They're very hospitable. They're very warm. Contrary to Americans, by the way. But they love their money. I remember when I've been told that the church I used to go to, one of the churches, after we moved from the Philadelphia side to South Jersey, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, the Greek church there, I was told it was the richest church in America. Maybe at that time still is. I don't know. But I know 20, 30 years ago, the average priest was getting $120,000 a year with all expenses paid and the parsonage and everything else. That's not a bad job, $120,000. Drinking all the liquor and alcohol that you want. Serving the alcohol to your parishioners. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, the Bible says. And you know what? God's cursing you maybe just the way God's cursed the Greeks. Going inside the vestibule at our Greek church, they used to have bronze plaques on the right-hand side going in. I think the top 5 or 10 givers of the church were in bronze, in plates, listed on top. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that humble? The biggest givers listed one by one. Who was the biggest giver? Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Talk about pride. You don't know what pride is unless you're Greek, man. Yeah. And then you try to tell them you need to be born again. They think it's foolishness. Well, I'm Greek. I know Greece. The gospel came to Greece, and the Bible came to Greece, and we're the first ones. First of all, Armenia was, but you know what? Greeks perverted the gospel with the Greek Orthodox Church, and now saying work salvation straight into hell. It's not the gospel of grace. But look at this, verse number 21. Acts 17, verse 21. Verse 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You know, Greeks are a bunch of gossipers, just like Americans are.
Sure.
And by the way, this is without a cell phone or social media. Huh. I think Americans are catching up to the curses of Greeks. You can't control yourself on that Facebook page, on your social media, on your phone, your smartphone. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Yeah, the evil eye comes from Greece. They call it the mate, the eye, you know. If you give somebody the evil eye, they're cursed, you know. Now, do you ever see a Greek? They have, you don't see it. It's like a rosary bead, a miniature rosary bead. And that's what it is, a rosary bead, a prayer bead. But they call it kumbaloi. They just twirl it around their hands and their fingers all day long. They carry it like a rabbit's foot. They carry it. And it's like about maybe 20 or 30 beads on a string. And they just shrink. They wrap around. You know why? Because Greeks are superstitious. Like Americans are with their black cats and walking under a ladder and Friday the 13th and everything else. I mean, where do we get that from? Pagan Greece? Pagan Rome? And the same way that God cursed a Greek pagan philosophy, he's cursing America because America swallowed a hook, line, and sinker, man. And the only way to be cured of that is to temper all of it with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to temper all of it with the Word of God, and to throw out the stuff that's junk and pagan and heathenistic and just leave the good stuff alone. But you can only do that with the Word of God. Hey, same thing in your life. If you were taught some things, you better make sure it lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, get rid of it. Flush it down the toilet. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care if it's a tradition in your life. I don't care if it's a custom. If it's contrary to the Word of God, get rid of it.
Amen.
If it's not, keep it. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. It's interesting because Mars Hill is... It's a rock. It's a rock about, I'm guessing, as big as this room, I want to say. And I've been there. And Mars Hill is located on the pathway going up and down to the Acropolis where people used to go worship Athena, their Diana. They're going to church services or pagan services up and down. And Paul's standing on Mars Hill preaching. By the way, not inside a church building. He's preaching outside. I preached on Mars Hill in Greek and in English.
Amen.
Just exactly the same spot where the Apostle Paul preached. And you know what? I got the same kind of reactions Paul got. Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. Tourists from all over the world looking at me like he got two heads on. But some people were listening.
Yeah.
And by the way, some people listened to Paul too. Because many of the Greeks did get saved, the Bible said. They humbled themselves. They realized they were sinners lost on their way to hell. And they asked God for salvation. Hey, why don't you get saved this morning?
Yeah.
Forget what your pastor, minister, or priest told you. Why don't you listen to what Jesus said? It was tough for me. It took me about 2 or 3 months for me to get saved. I had so much pride, so much ego, chip on my shoulder. I just kept saying, this can't be. It can't be that simple. It can't be. My priest wouldn't lie to me for 21 years, would he? Yeah, for money he would. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Do you love money too? Hey, America, you love money? 401k is more important? Huh? Your retirement is more important? Your job is more important than God? More important than the Word of God? More important than your soul? Titus chapter number 1. Let me show you what God says about the Greeks. Titus chapter number 1. Aren't you glad you're saved? I've never regretted the day I got saved, man. Never regretted it. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. You're going to let yourself burn in hell because you're going to believe a lie that some minister told you instead of reading what God said in the Bible. That's pretty pathetic. Titus chapter number 1. Oh man, I want to read the whole chapter, I'm telling you. Oh my. Yeah, I know. Chapter, verse number 7 says a bishop must be blameless. In verse number 6 says the husband of one wife. It says the same thing in Timothy there also, but go down to verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's why you all need to know your Bible. Amen. What does God, this is the word of God. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Most of these religious leaders are fake phonies and frauds, ladies and gentlemen. Any English person, speaker, religious leader that does not use the King James Bible, believe the King James Bible is the word of God, is a fake, phony fraud. He's a liar. By the way, that's what happened to the Greeks, by the way. Jonas King in the 1800s surrendered to go to Greece, Asia Minor, as a missionary. When Greece was just coming out of the Ottoman Empire, they were getting they just liberated some of their cities, but a lot of the Greeks were in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. So Jonas King, along with 4 or 5 other famous missionaries, when he surrendered, he went to Asia Minor, and he won Greeks in Asia Minor to the Lord. He won them to the Lord. And there's a whole big contingency of Greeks 200 years later that are saved today because of Jonas King being a missionary. He got in jail, got arrested. The Greek Orthodox Church didn't like what he's preaching. The American government had to intervene and get him out of jail. And he died in Greece. He married a Greek wife. He died in Athens. He's buried in Athens. Jonas King is probably the most famous missionary to Greece or to Greeks. You know what he did? He brought a King James Bible with him. And hundreds of thousands of Greeks got saved, or tens of thousands. I remember the number right now. But tens of thousands of Greeks got saved because of Jonas King using the King James Bible. Today, those evangelical churches have discarded the King James Bible, the Textus Receptus, and God's cursed them. And they're as dead as a doornail today, man. They may be saved and born again, but they drink their liquor, they drink their wine, they don't go soul winning, they have no standards, they're compromisers with their music and every other thing because they ditched the King James Bible because a Greek, Spiros Zoriatis, and from Tennessee, I think Tennessee Temple, if I remember correctly, I know he's from Tennessee or associated with Tennessee Temple. He was smarter than God. And he changed the King James Bible. He says, well, the King James Bible is wrong in this area. And so, you know what the Greeks did with their pride? They filed a Greek liar instead of the King James Bible that Jonas King brought over. The Greek Bible was translated from the King James Bible that brought a revival to the Greeks in Asia Minor and in Greece. But you got some philosopher who thinks he's smarter than God. He ditches the King James Bible and turns to these perversions, and all the Greek evangelical churches are cursed today if they've ditched the TR, the Textus Receptus, and gotten away from the King James Bible. That's why there's no revival in Greece.
None.
There's none. It's one of the darkest countries in Europe because they've ditched God. They've ditched the Word of God. They're full of themselves. By the way, like America has. America has gotten rid of the King James Bible. The one book that brought revival everywhere it went is what they got rid of. When's the last time you saw an NIV bring a revival anywhere? Or the Revised Version? Nowhere. It brings compromise and apostasy and heresy. So Americans are cursed because of following the Greek philosophies of pagan Greece. So he's preaching here. And we see here, he says, hold fast the faithful word, verse number 10, for there are many, we talked at 11, whose mouths must be stopped. Verse 12, one of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans, you know, Crete is the largest Greek island. Now, Greeks don't like to read this, but it's in the Bible. The Cretans are always what?
Liars.
Wow, that's kind of a strong statement. Evil beasts, slow bellies, what you would call lazy. Why is Greece suffering so much today in that nation? Because they swallow hook, line, and sinker socialism and communism, and God's cursed them as a result. Yeah. While their economy was starting to boom after the Civil War in the 60s, they've now swallowed socialism, and unemployment's like over 20%, 24% at one point. And by the way, that's what's going to happen in America, because America wants handouts all the time. God is going to curse you if you can work and you don't work.
Amen.
God says if you don't work, you should not eat.
Amen.
That's what God said in the Bible. If you would not work, you should not eat.
Amen.
Said, Pastor, how about all these people? Let them go hungry. You'll see how fast they can start working.
Amen.
Yeah, but how about all these people with disabilities? You'd be shocked how fast a person with an empty stomach will learn to live with their disabilities and get a job.
Yeah.
But socialism and communism feeds everybody that is lazy. That's what's happened in America. We swallow the same stuff that Greece has swallowed. And we're only, America, listen to me tell you, America's only 30, 40 years behind them anyway. I was talking to the Greeks this week. I said, I don't like everything Trump said. So, well, what didn't you like about Trump? I didn't like the fact that he thinks that women ought to get paid after they have a baby staying home.
None.
Why? They do that in Germany for a whole year. This is what a Greek told me. A good Greek who's responsible and hardworking but has swallowed socialism without even realizing it. Hey, once you get a hardworking fellow to marry so he'll take care of you, you don't have to have the government take care of you. You want the government to take care of you, honey, because you don't want a man to obey and follow and listen to who will provide for you.
Man.
So you ditch a man and marry a government that'll feed your laziness.
Man.
Is this a Baptist church this morning?
Yeah.
This is not a Greek Orthodox church, is it? Huh? There's nobody wearing a robe up here, dressing like a woman, who calls himself father, dressed like a mother and has no children. And you figure that one out. You figure that one out. Try to think about that for a second. How in the world, right mind can an educated man, college educated man or woman, believe a priest says this is now the physical body of Jesus Christ? We have now hocus pocus transformed this matzo bread, this wafer into the physical body. College educated people believe that. You know why? Because they're cursed of God. I remember taking that little bread. We used to have bread, not matzo, but we had bread in the Greek Orthodox church. And I remember getting it from the priest and walking. And you know, I don't know, 8, 10 years old. Some of it, you know, you eat it, you know, you pick at it. And some of it fell on the ground. I still remember a lady in the front row, right in front of where Emily's sitting. She was on the front row. I was going this way around, you know. And as soon as the crumbs fell, she jumped out of her seat and said, "Don't drop, that's the body of Jesus." I said, "Okay." Wow. I mean, these are people in their 40s and 50s and 60s that believe this heresy. You know why? Because they're cursed of God. You can't believe that Jesus died for your sins, but you believe that this wafer, this bread is the physical body of Jesus. And this wine, this alcoholic wine now, that it's a curse of God, we turn it into the blood of Jesus Christ. And you believe that junk. Then you get mad at a preacher that preaches you grace of God.
Amen.
You get mad at a preacher who tells you all you need to do is be born again, saved from hell. Ask God to save your soul. Just repent and ask Christ. Change your mind and ask God to save your soul before you die.
Amen.
But they believe they can pray for the dead. We used to have $1 candles, $5 candles, $10 candles. You know, you get a $20 candle, you're really praying good, man. And the priest will really pray for your dead loved ones because, you know where purgatory is in the Bible, right? Huh?
Revelation 24.
Yeah. It's nowhere.
Yes.
Lost people die without Jesus, end up in the lake of fire in hell.
Yes, sir.
You know how many times the word nun is mentioned in the Bible? N-U-N. You know, the Catholic priest nun? None. 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 But they look at you like you're strange when you tell them what God says. You know what? Here's what God says. The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This is their own philosopher saying this. And he says, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Well, one of the jobs of a preacher is to preach the truth.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, whether it hurts or not. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with me and told me, in essence, that I've been listening to a bunch of lies for 21 years. I need to get saved. Now, they didn't come out and say that, but they showed me from the book of Romans I was a sinner on my way to hell and I needed to ask Jesus to save me. Are you saved this morning?
Yeah.
Are you born again? Your church should not be more important than Jesus, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Your denomination should not be more important than the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. You think this is bad? You try being Greek and reading these verses. I'll tell you what, that's good. And by the way, that's why a lot of Greeks have turned away from God in the Bible. Because God nails the Greeks right in the head, man. Right between the eye, bullseye. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. I go on and on and on. There's so much in the Bible about Greeks. And by the way, Greece and Greeks and their islands are probably one of the most mentioned countries in the whole entire Bible outside of Israel. And I don't know if any other country is mentioned as much. Whereas the Israelites in the Old Testament, the people of God and New Testament, but the Greeks represent the Gentile world, the evil world, the whole world, life and wickedness. All right, where did I say?
Acts 9.
Acts 9, thank you. Yes, Acts 9. Acts chapter number 9. Yeah, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, we're supposed to preach Christ. The Bible says. Acts chapter 9. Verse number 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. If we didn't have the First and Second Amendment, they'd do the same thing here.
Yes,
let me tell you something. The Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church are barely different at all. They're about the same thing. They just split in 1054, whatever year it was, they split. One went west, one went east, all because of money and power. That's all it was. They believe the same kind of work salvation. They both worship Mary. They both worship the saints. They pray to Mary. They pray to saints, which is contrary to the Word of God, you know. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, not Mary, not the saints. It's Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know the Greek Orthodox Church is the largest member of the World Council of Churches, the most wicked religious organization on planet Earth. And the evangelical churches in Greece that claim to be saved are members of the World Council of Church. And the Mennonites are members of the World Council of Church. So why are these people getting cursed of God? What's wrong with them? Well, they're yoking up with unbelievers, number one. They're drinking their alcohol contrary to the Word of God. And God's cursing them, just like he's cursed the Greeks. Hey, if I were you, I'd stay away from Greeks. Yeah. If I were you, man, Greeks can be very, very dangerous, man. Paul writes in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the unwise. Thank God he wrote in verse number 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew. Two more scriptures and we'll close, I think. Three, if I think three more, we'll close. You want to go home and watch the Knicks lose 15 in a row? You know, your sports. People are addicted to sports. And you listen, I've been saying this for 25, 30 years. These sports arenas that we're building across this country with taxpayer money are going to be used as coliseums that they persecuted Christians in Rome. You listen to me good. Yeah. When they declare this hate speech and the anti-Christian party takes over, and they will sooner or later, They're going to round up Christians like they did in the first, second century, herd them into the Colosseums, and you're going to have 15, 20, 30,000 people cheering as Christians are fed to the lions and burned at the stake. You think, that's not going to happen, Pastor. Well, you obviously don't know history. And you obviously don't know how we're... You know, every great civilization that was destroyed, the last thing that was the nail in the coffin is the rise of homosexuality. It's all through Greece, man. King Macedon came down and took over all of Greece because of the rise of homosexuality. Happened the same thing in Rome. And it's happened the same thing in America, ladies and gentlemen. Proud to be an American. Huh? Are you proud? Or are you just glad you're saved? I better turn to my scripture reference here. I'm sorry. Hold your place in Matthew 15. Hold your place in Matthew 15 and turn to Mark 7, please. I remember talking to one of my uncles. I mean, they hated Jews, man. And I said, Phil, well, Jesus was Jewish. He looked at me and says, I know. I said, well, the disciples were Jewish. I know. They can't stand that. And that's why there are a lot of them going back to their pagan philosophies that ancient Greece came from. And by the way, you know the story of Alexander the Great? Do you realize Alexander the Great, one of the greatest leaders ever to live, died when he was 32 or 33 years of age. His mother taught him that his father was not really king of Macedonia, that his father was really an Olympic god. That he had divine blood in him. His mother, he was taught by Aristotle, if I get the pagan philosophers correct. But anyway, he was taught Hebrew growing up. He could read Hebrew and Greek fluently. And he never lost a battle his entire life. You think about it, 32 years of age. When he left Greece, when he was 22 or 23 years old, he bid farewell to his mother, never to see Greece again and never to see his mother again. And she reminded him that you have divine blood in you. I wouldn't say divine, but I would say satanic. Because of his... people say he could have died of syphilis, gonorrhea. We don't know. He was a homosexual as far as we know. If you just look it up and search it. He came to Rome. He came to Jerusalem. He had conquered city after city, nation after city. He comes to Jerusalem. This will be good. He comes to Jerusalem, and the rich Jews come out of the city, try to meet him in the countryside to persuade him not to destroy Jerusalem. And you know what they tell him? They tell him that he was ordained of God in the book of Daniel to do what he's doing. He was prophesied about in the book of Daniel. They took him inside, I don't know, not the temple, but inside their buildings. He came into Jerusalem. And instead of, he didn't need an interpreter because he knew Hebrew. He was able to read the scrolls in Daniel chapter number 3, and Daniel chapter number 7, and Daniel chapter number 9, and Daniel chapter number 11 about himself. And Jerusalem was the only one he didn't ransack. And he let Jerusalem have their own laws, whatever they wanted. There's a lot more I want to say about Alexander the Great, but I'll tell you what, he's the only one that's not mentioned by name. That prophecy was 200 years, Daniel was written 200 years before Alexander the Great was born. Great military leader, but a very wicked, vile man that hated God. But because he loved power, he had all power. The vast majority of the known civilized world was conquered by him. They said he cried when there were no other worlds to conquer. All the way to India. And then after a couple hundred years, the Roman Empire took over. After the Greek Empire collapsed. There's more about Alexander the Great that's satanic than you would ever think. Mark chapter number 7, you have your place there. the Greeks are cursed. Remember that. Mark chapter number 7. Watch this now. Three more scriptures and we'll close. Mark chapter number 7. And verse number 24. From thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house. And would have no man know it, but he would not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a... There's another Greek for you. She had a young daughter with an unclean spirit. She heard about Jesus coming and she fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Talking about the children of Israel. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the
dogs.
I don't think it's very nice calling women dogs. Unless Jesus Christ did it himself to a Greek. Are you reading the Bible?
Amen.
Jesus Christ called the Greeks dogs.
Amen.
Now, if I was full of myself and full of pride, I'd say, I'm not going to have anybody tell me that the Greeks are a bunch of dogs. If God wants to call me any name he wants, it's fine with me, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
If God wants to tell me that I'm cursed, it's fine with me. I just want to be blessed by Jesus Christ. Amen. Because my Bible says in Deuteronomy, chapter number 23, verse number 5, that God turns a curse into a blessing if you let him. Amen. And I don't care how much you've been cursed or not. I don't care what's going on in your past and your history. I don't care about your traditions or your customs. I don't care about your family and your heritage. God will turn the curse into a blessing if you let him. Your pride refuses to humble yourself though. God, Jesus just called this woman a dog. Oh man, she must have been upset and left right away, don't you think? She must have been really offended, don't you think? And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Wow. Talk about humility. She said, Lord, you're right. We're a bunch of dogs, man. You know what Paul wrote about the Gentiles? We're wild by nature.
Yes, sir.
The only reason you're tamed or civilized, listen to me good, the only reason. I know you think savages are in Africa, American Native Americans before the white man came here. Hey, all of Europe were a bunch of savages also, man. They're wild by nature, Paul writes. You think too highly of yourself because you're civilized, because the gospel of Jesus Christ came to you or your forefathers 200 years ago, 400 years ago, 1,000 years ago and civilized you. Now we're killing babies and we're becoming uncivilized just like pagan societies were 1,000, 2,000 years ago. Because we've taken God out of country, God out of schools, God out of churches, and God out of homes. Why don't you do what this woman said? Lord, you're right, I'm just nothing but a dog.
Amen.
And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Wow. Wow. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now let's turn to Matthew 15. Same story. Matthew chapter 15. Same story. Watch this. Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 22. We're done with this. The Greeks are cursed, but they can be blessed of God if they humble themselves. Lost people are cursed unless you humble yourself and ask God for salvation. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you've been in jail, prison. I don't care if you lost everything. I don't care if you lost your mind. God's cursed you. But God only can take the curse and turn it into a blessing, the Bible says. Not some rehab. Not some government program. Jesus Christ can.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22. Same story. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Can you imagine asking God for help and God not answering you? You would think the average person would have walked away. Look, he's treating me. Look how he's treating me. I'm trying to talk to him. I'm trying to plead with him. I've got a heartache, and he's just not answering at all. If you realize your hope is your only hope is Jesus Christ, you'd go after Jesus Christ no matter if you're cursed or not.
Yeah.
No matter if you can't hear God or not. Get yourself a King James Bible and read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so thin-skinned today. Somebody says something, somebody doesn't say something. Everything bothers you today.
Yeah.
It ruins your day. It ruins your week. It ruins your month. Because somebody says something on Facebook, on social media. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's what Jesus told this dog, this woman, this Greek. "I'm here for the children of Israel, woman." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wow. There's no way I can explain to you how glad I am that this lady gave me a gospel tract and looked past my pride and my ego and the chip on my shoulder. And she was concerned about my soul and where I was going to spend eternity. And I struggled and I struggled. And I couldn't believe it was that simple and that easy to be saved, because my Greek philosophizing forefathers, a bunch of pagans, thought that they were their own gods. I cannot believe that I'm saved here this morning. I cannot believe I'm a child of God. I cannot believe that God could take a curse and turn it into a blessing. I thank God for my Greek heritage. Don't misunderstand me. You probably hear too many of those stories you wish you don't hear. You wouldn't hear as often. I can't get rid of them. I just touched the tip of the iceberg today, man. I think about the Greeks on Suli Mountain. For 400 years, the Greeks were enslaved by the Ottoman Muslim Turks. But the Greeks on Suli Mountain lived up there for 350, 380 years in freedom and liberty, because they wouldn't bow their knees. I'm not going to forget those men and women that lived up in those mountains, man. You know, you understand, the Greeks were very influential everywhere they went. Do you know all of Columbus's writings are in Greek? Everything he ever wrote was in Greek. Search your YouTube and see if Columbus was Greek or not. Everywhere you go, in most of the older buildings, you see Greek keys. When the Ottoman Empire took over Greece, the leading Greeks left Greece and went into Europe, and that's what started the Renaissance period. The pagan folks that left Greece went through the rest of Europe, and that's what started the Renaissance era. Greeks have some great, great history. But when you're full of yourself, you're cursing God. And you go contrary to the Word of God, especially with alcohol and paganism, and ditch a King James Bible that can save your soul, you're going to be cursing God until you get right with God. Hey, if this woman, this Greek woman, agreed with Jesus that she was a dog, a female dog at that, why don't you agree with Jesus that you're a sinner deserving hell, and you need to humble yourself and ask God for salvation? Are you full of yourself? Are you full of your church or your denomination? Blessed be God. If God wants to say the Greeks are cursed, these are just the tip of the iceberg this morning. There's no way I could go all through the scriptures and tell you the rest of the verse about the Greeks. But this is enough to tell you that Greeks are cursed without God. And America's cursed without God. And you're cursed without God. Why don't you get saved? Why don't you get right this morning? Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I still can't get over the fact, 1978, on my way to hell, full of myself, chip on my shoulder, ego bigger than everybody else in this room combined. Some skinny 5 foot tall woman had the courage to share the gospel with me. Dear God, I want to thank you, dear God, for saving my soul from hell. Thank you for breaking my heart. Thank you for allowing me to humble myself before thee and realizing that I was cursed, I was sinful, I was wicked and evil, and that I need to trust you only for my salvation. This country, America, is as cursed as she can get and getting cursed more every day. And she didn't even realize it. We're following in the footsteps of pagan Greece. We're addicted to sports. We're addicted to pagan philosophies. We're addicted to drugs. We're addicted to everything against Scripture. Oh, dear God, help somebody. Help somebody realize that their need of salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks putting up with this grief all these years. I thank you, dear God, there's a group of people who love you and are more concerned about souls and the Word of God and truth than they are concerned about themselves. I thank you for a group of humble people, Lord, who are willing to obey the Word of God, even when it hurts them personally, even when it goes contrary to them. Oh, dear God, may we put you up first in our lives, in all that we say and all that we do. Bless this invitation, dear God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.